You are now entering the world of Blissful Living, broadcasting around the globe and on the Blissful Living Network with Rochelle Marie Lawson. Are you lacking energy, clarity, and that sense of true well-being? Are you overworked, underpaid, and know that you deserve more in life? You are not alone. Improve your wellness, wisdom, and wealth so that you can step into living the life of your dreams. And now, here's your host of Blissful Living, the queen of feeling fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Blissful Living Show. This is the queen of feeling fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson. And I am so excited because I have two phenomenal, you know, you guys know I bring it. I have two phenomenal, fierce, fearless, and unstoppable women with me today, and we're going to have a phenomenal conversation. But what I want to start off with is this is a great time for you to check in with your family, let them know you need a few minutes, and find your favorite place to sit, grab something to write with because you're probably going to want to take some notes, get your favorite beverage, and just take some time to chill and know that you can always download the show and re-listen to it. But just take this next 30 to 33 minutes for yourself as a part of stepping into you being fierce, fearless, and unstoppable. Before I get started with the phenomenal ladies and introduce you to them, I want to thank our sponsors. First one I want to thank is Blissful Living for You at Blissful Living, the number 4, the letter U.com. They have a phenomenal amount of things for you to help you elevate your wellness, wisdom, and wealth. And they are the host and the sponsor not only of this podcast, but of the Unstoppable Woman Summit, which I will share more with you a little later in the show about that. So Blissful Living for You, go check them out. Go get all the freebies they have because definitely there's something to amplify your wellness, something to amplify and change your mindset or your wisdom, and definitely things to help you build, sustain, and increase your wealth. So check out Blissful Living at Blissful Living, the number 4, the letter U.com. The next sponsor I want to thank is All Day Cable Incorporated. All Day Cable Incorporated is a telecommunications company located in the heart of Silicon Valley. They are going on their 31st year of business. And their motto is they make the right connections the first time. And since we are all been lately doing this virtual stuff, we all know how important it is to make sure our connections are working so that we can not only connect with our families and those that we love with virtually, but also connect with our clients and our customers that need our services and that are requiring our wisdom and our expertise to help them step into their greatness and be the best that they can be. So if you have a need for voice, data, fiber optic, wireless systems, audio, video, whatever it is with regards to how we do business in today's world, you definitely want to check out All Day Cable Inc. at alldaycableinc.com. They have survived every type of economy we've had since 1989, still thriving, still surviving, and still killing it in the game. And their customers have been with them for 25 to 30 years. So that speaks volumes when you are able to retain customers for that long of time. So check out All Day Cable Inc. at alldaycableinc.com. So I am so excited because I have two phenomenal ladies here, and I just want to share a little bit about them with you. The first fabulous, phenomenal, fierce, fearless, and unstoppable gal is named Megan Dwyer. And Megan enjoys dissecting our relationships with money to uncover the roles they play in our lives. Our money stories are formed at a very early age and often go unrecognized throughout our everyday lives. Now, Megan believes that once we dive into our money stories, we gain a true understanding of what drives our thoughts and our behaviors. Have I piqued your curiosity yet? Only then can we move past the societal constructs that hold us back and begin to rewrite our money story so that we can live the life we desire. Now, Megan is a certified financial planner, professional and certified divorce financial analyst. Ooh, she lives in, I'm just going to say, she lives in Massachusetts with her husband and her two beautiful young boys and her golden doodle, Teddy. So that's our first guest. And let me tell you about this sexy, sassy girl. She's like my twin sister from another mother. This gal is absolutely amazing. The phenomenal Laura Cheadle is a transformational thought leader and media personality who empowers women to find and express themselves fully so they can gracefully take the lead in the dance of life despite any external circumstances. With a unique combination of intellect, humor, and emotion of depth, she encourages women to shed the labels, roles, and scripts that no longer suit them, and to embody all the facets of who they are in everything that they do. Named an exceptional woman of excellence by the Woman Economic Forum, she is beloved for her ability to cut through confusion and catalyze lasting change in a playful manner. Her book was the number one bestseller in Denver, and she is the host of the top rated radio show, Flaunt, Build Your Dreams, Live Your Sparkle. Integrating her unique identities as an attorney, hypnotherapist, and check this out, y'all, burlesque dancer, and aficionado of all things fitness related, Laura is passionate about providing women with tools, skills, and insight to create and meet their own standards, choreographing their life, their way. And so there you have it, my two phenomenal ladies, that we are going to really dive into some conversation. So again, if you haven't taken the time to grab a piece of paper or something to write with, find a little spot to be cozy and comfy and just be selfish with yourself for the next 30 minutes, do that now. Because I'm going to jump right in. And I'm going to say, this question is directed to Miss Megan. So, Ms. Megan, you are a financial planning expert, and in order for us women to be unstoppable, we need to know how to manage our finances, so to speak, and we need to know how to manage and we need to know how to plan and manage that according to what we desire in life. What can you share with our listeners out there about the whole thing around uncovering the roles that money might play in a fierce, fearless, and unstoppable woman's life?
Yeah, thank you. And this is an awesome question. I feel like there are so many stories that we tell ourselves on a daily basis, and so many of those relate to money. And here's an example. As women, I often hear things like, as reasons why, you know, they may take a backseat or default to their spouse when it comes to the personal finances. And they say things like, well, I'm not good at money, or I'm just not really that interested in it. And these are stories that we've been telling ourselves for years and years and years. And I think the most important thing is to recognize, to be aware of those stories, and to at least try to start challenging them. Because when you tell yourself those stories and you take whatever action or inaction as a result of those stories, it very well could be holding you back. And I think it's really, really important for women to start to be aware, at least just have the awareness of those stories, and then start to challenge them a little bit. Because, I mean, money is such a taboo topic, and so many people want to avoid it. But in order to have a healthy relationship with money and with yourself, frankly, you have to confront those. You have to confront those stories and those voices that we're telling ourselves.
You know, you said something really good, Megan, and I just want to extrapolate on that, because I think, you know, a lot of times women hear things that they say, oh, yeah, my girlfriend Sarah, that totally fits her, or, you know, my mom or my grandma or whoever. But they sometimes don't equate the whole concept of how they deal with money to themselves. They can see it on, you know, outside of themselves, but internally they can't see it. What would you say to a gal out there listening that knows that she wants to build financial wealth for herself and her family, but she doesn't, she can't really see the limitations, or I'm going to say the young age programming that she just inherited because of what, you know, of her environment when she grew up. She can't see it and she can't relate to it. How does someone open up to seeing their own story with money or wealth?
I mean, I think it starts with a lot of intrinsic work. That could be therapy. It could start there. It could be journaling. It could be, you know, I think the place to start is to just find the biggest pain points for you. So, you know, I discovered that when I'm stressed out, I'm one of those people that likes to go shopping, like as a reward, as you know, I deserve this kind of thing.
I think a lot of women are.
Right. I think a lot of women are. It's like it's a way of coping. And so, you know, but if you, it's fine to an extent, but if you start to feel guilt afterwards or shame, or, you know, say you're buying something that you don't need or even really want, you know, get another pair of shoes and you already have 12 pairs of similar shoes in your closet, that's when I think you really should start questioning. And, by journaling, you can get a lot out. Like, I think that's a really important, I think, tool in the toolbox to kind of tap into who we really are and what our souls really want and what our soul is really craving. And I think therapy also helps. I mean, just to talk it out. And therapy doesn't necessarily have to be talking with a professional. It could be talking with your girlfriend or your, you know, your spouse or whoever. It just
right.
to say, hey, by the way, do you do something like this too? And I actually, I have a podcast that I started recently. It's called Money Isn't Scary. And that's my platform for starting, for trying to make these types of conversations more normal, more part of our everyday lives, because I think there is a lot of shame and guilt around it, around behavior.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that, because I know you touched the sore spot when you said, well, if you're buying the 12 pair of shoes that you already have similar shoes in the closet like that, you better check yourself. So, yes, I have a shoe fetish. I've had a shoe fetish since I was a kid, and I have a lot of shoes. And, yes, I probably have 37 pair of black, different type of black shoes. But, you know, when you said that, I thought, like, you know, why? How did I develop this shoe fetish? And why do I feel that I need to have, you know, 4 pair of black boots, all different kind of black boots? You know, I got my Combats, I got my stilettos, I got my, you know, cowboy, whatever. You know, it's like, why do I feel I need to have all these different boots? And I think for me, it's a part of me that my shoes represent various aspects of my personality. I got my stilettos, what I want to feel like I'm a badass, sassy, sexy chick. Mm-hmm. I got my Combats, when I want to be down in the trenches doing stuff. I got my, you know, pretty little cute boots when I just want to look pretty and cute. But in reality, I really don't need all of those shoes. It's just a void that I'm maybe trying to fulfill. And when I think about it even further, it's like, you know, when I was growing up, the only time I got a new pair of shoes is when I had holes or my other shoes were like so worn over that they look horrible, right? And so I think, yeah, you know, I might have some issues behind that reflect from, you know, things in childhood. And I think a lot of people, a lot of women listening to this could possibly relate. Sometimes the money issues that we have today that we don't even realize are issues are things that happened because of something that we wanted or that we felt neglected about when we were children. And we try to compensate when we become adults and we make our money. But we just continue mm-hmm. to try to compensate, right? We get the stuff, and then we continue to try to compensate to fill that void. And, you know, that really did touch a spot for me. And thank you for sharing that, because I think in order for women to realize the essence of being unstoppable, we have to not only realize the good things about us, but we have to dig deep and look at those things that we kind of keep secret, like me and my shoe, everybody knows I have a shoe fetish, but you know what I'm saying? Things that we try to keep secret because we don't want to be vulnerable in exposing that we actually have a shame or we feel shameful about something that we didn't experience or weren't able to experience us in the fullness when we were children. So thank you so much for sharing that. That is really was huge.
I will just add that it's really about living and spending your money with intention. And that's what I'm all about. So, you know, you mentioned you have these four pairs of black boots. Well, if they make you happy and that's, you know, and you want to feel a certain way, there's nothing wrong with that. But it's just having the awareness and being cognizant of what is really going on. And are we spending money just to spend money, or are we spending money just to try to hide or avoid another feeling or compensate for another feeling? And when you spend money with intention, there's a completely different feeling behind the act of it. And that's something that's really important to just be aware of. And, you know, just as we go into it, we're early on in a new year and there's all kinds of hope and change and all this stuff going on. I think that being more intentional with our lives is really critical.
Thank you, because it's an interesting phenomenon. But lo and behold, I still love my shoes, and I'm, you know, other people have other kind of fetishes.
Yeah.
I have a shoe fetish. So oh well, you know. But
and that's okay. That's okay,
right? Within at least I'm not a sexual pervert or or you know something crazy like that, right?
it's when having the shoes doesn't make you feel good. That's when it becomes a problem.
Yes, I agree. I totally agree. Now, I want Miss Laura, my girlfriend, to chime in on this because she's a phenomenal lady, just like you, Megan. And so, Laura, with regards to, you know, I love, I just love everything about you. You're just as sexy and sassy as I am. or maybe even more, I don't know. But I would give you a leg up because you do burlesque. So I would give you a leg up of being more sexy and sassier than I am. But with regards to what we're talking about, Laura, and, you know, you being an attorney and you're doing some phenomenal things, what would you share with the listeners out there that are listening to us have this wonderful conversation about stepping in to their greatness but learning to shed the labels that we've either put upon ourselves or that other people have put upon us and we've worn like a badge of courage. What would you share with the listeners with regards to that?
You know, I love so much of what Megan said. It's just such the perfect, you know, segue into some of the work that I do. Because growing up, we all learn things. And most of the things we learn inadvertently. We learn what a mother does by what our mother does. We learn what a teacher is like based on what our teachers are like. We have these very stereotypical black and white ideas about different roles and how we're supposed to be as girls or as women and what it means to be sexy. And we look at the media and we think, I need to look like that, even though the women in the media are not really representative of real women or even sexy, kind, wonderful, sassy, unstoppable women. We still adopt, that idea of that's what I'm supposed to look like. And then we spend an inordinate amount of time and money and resources chasing these ideals. And that's why so many people face depression or anxiety, because they get it. They lose the last 5 pounds. They, you know, do whatever it is and they look a certain way and all of a sudden they go, wow, I'm still not happy. I'm still me. I lost the last 5 pounds and my marriage is still in trouble.
Right.
You know, I got the latest style and I've got the car and the bag and I've got the red bottom shoes and I'm still no more successful than I was before. What's wrong?
Right.
So then they internalize it and they're like, something is wrong with me. And that's the whole point. Nothing is wrong with you. It's just that we have these ideas. We're raised, it's our whole culture, that if we're, you know, between size 2 and size 4 and look a certain way and have the man and the shoes and the car and the job and the paycheck, then everything is going to go our way and nothing's going to be wrong.
Right.
And that, yeah, and it's a setup. You know, it's not your fault, it's not my fault, it's not any of our faults. It's a setup, and we just have to start realizing and asking ourselves, what do I want for me? And if I choose, yeah, like when I was an attorney and practicing corporate law, I became very masculine. I pitched my voice down. Yeah, I buttoned up my shirts. I acted like a man because that was the culture of, you know, the law firm, to be more masculine.
Right.
Yeah, and we do that. When I'm a mom, I act differently than when I'm going to church, than when I'm going to a metaphysical yoga event, than when I'm going to, and, you know, I loved what you said about shoes represent the different parts of your personality, because that shows that you get it. You get it. We do have all of these aspects to our personality, and it's so important that we are able to be fluid and move in and out of those different aspects and be like, yes, I'm with young kids now. You know, they're 2 and 4. I'm going to talk differently and I'm going to act. And we understand this is my mom persona, but it's not me. It's just a part of me. This is my lawyer persona. Yeah, it's a part of me, but it's not all of me. Because we tend to confuse our roles with who we are. And that's why things... That's why things like empty nesting is so traumatic for so many women, because they go, if I'm not a mom, who am I? Well, that's an aspect of you, and it will always be an aspect of you, but you're way more than just a mom. You're way more than just a wife. You're more than just a financial planner or just an attorney. Who are you, exclusive of all of those labels, all of those roles, and all of those scripts? And that's when you're unstoppable, when you are able to flow in and out of all of that and to truly have that awareness of who I am.
Oh, my God. I love it. Like I told you guys out there listening, my girls today are bringing it. They're not playing. They're not playing. And, you know, a lot of what Megan said, and, of course, what you're saying, Laura, is so true. We may play many roles, but the roles that we play are, they're just an aspect of us. They don't define us. And it's really interesting. You brought up something with regards to the empty nester thing. And I remember when, you know, my baby boy went off to college. That was my last boy. He went off to college. And then I just had my daughter there. And it was like, okay, I still, you know, still kind of did things. You know, she had her own boyfriend, and she was a dancer, and so she was doing all her stuff, you know. But I still had that, like, connected role, like the mom, the caretaker. Once she went off to college, it was like, okay, so, yeah, I've been doing 97,000 things, but now I only have to do 87,000. And, you know, the 10,000 things that I'm not doing all revolved around my children. And so it was like, okay, so now I have, like, all this time. Well, what am I going to do? Well, of course, I figured out what I'm going to do. I got with my girlfriends, and we just started having a ball. But it was just, for a moment, I had to take a step back. And because, you know, for a long time, I was a mom. I have two sets of kids. I have kids that are older, and then I have this younger set. And, you know, now everybody's all grown, but it was like, you know, what am I going to do? Yeah, I have these businesses, and but it's like I had this, all of a sudden I have this big gap, and I felt like I needed to fill it. But instead of taking a step back and just embracing that space that I now had open up, I was feeling like I needed to fill it. And it's a beautiful thing, because we get so attached to our roles and we do them for so long, though, that we don't often realize that that's just a part of us. And as we travel down our path, eventually that part will fall off, and there's another part that evolves, right? And so thank you for sharing that, because, like you said, you know, you're an attorney and you're in a corporate field and you're a very sexy, sassy gal, but you were like buttoning up your shirt and falling in the way to the masculinity of the arena you were playing in because you felt that's something that you needed to do. And that's okay, but you realize, why am I doing this? So thank you for so much for sharing, ladies, because I think that where our conversation is opening up a lot for women out there listening. So I want to go back to you, Megan. So with regards to like our finances and really being that unstoppable chick, and I've always been raised Sicilian, Irish, and Black, so I got some strong women that were in my life, but I always been raised to have my own money, not to depend on a man, to have my own money, to have my own bank account, and to do my own things when it came to my finances. And so I've always lived that, and I taught that to my daughter. What would you say to the women out there with regards to handling their finances in a way that is nurturing to whatever I want to say, relationship or whatever aspect of their life or role they're playing right now, but also will lead them to having that feeling of comfortability and unstoppability on their own, so to speak. Am I making sense? Did that kind of come out clear?
No, absolutely. So I would say get involved, and that's the biggest challenge that we see with statistics, pure statistics, women live longer than men. And their chances of between, the life expectancy and divorce rates, unfortunately, are that the chances are high that a woman at some point in her life is going to be alone and have to handle these financial decisions for herself. And so I think the most important thing right now at any state, wherever you're at, is to just be involved and be curious. And you may not need to know, you may not know everything. You may not want to know everything, and that's okay, but start to at least know what you have for assets, for income, for all these different categories, where your accounts are, just general basic knowledge, how to log into certain accounts if it's all online, who are your contacts, who do you work with, do you work with a CPA for your taxes, do you work with an estate planning attorney who might have drafted your estate plan documents. Having the awareness is the very first step, and also just a general interest. I think that you see so often in the financial industry, and this is one of my pet peeves, which is the reason why I'm on this mission myself that I have, is that you see it's oftentimes a very patriarchal culture in financial services, and so you see a lot of women that might go in a traditional husband wife relationship. They may go in and you're working with a typically older white male. And they may only be addressing the other male in the room. So, and so that is not only beyond insulting, but I think it's also demeaning to the point where it incites this additional shame in us. Right. And so if you just get up there, ask questions. No questions are stupid. And talk about money. And this is what I mean, again, when we talk about this money being so taboo in our culture, talk with your friends, talk with your family, talk with anybody you can, like, about money. And because I think that it is, the more that we talk about it, the less shame there's going to be around it. There is this whole big aspect of in our culture of not sharing salaries. And in fact, I've heard many times before that stories that people have told me about jobs they may have had or something in the corporate structure where they actually, it is a fireable offense to share your salary with somebody else. That's a giant red flag. That stuff, like, you need to get out of there, like, ASAP if that's the case, because that's not healthy. That's a very toxic environment to be in, and it just continues to add fuel to the fire with all of these already kind of patriarchal constructs within our culture.
You know, you said something, I can totally relate to that. So I'm going to go back into the 80s before I even start any business and stuff. And there was, I worked for a large insurance company as a underwriter, fresh out of college. And I had two things that, I had several things that happened. One was I got the job because I came in to interview for another guy's position that he had available. And the guy that actually hired me in a different department saw me walking out and liked my legs, okay?
Oh.
And asked the human resource manager about who I was and, you know, all that. So long story short, I got the job with him, learned a lot. It was great, but it was very the men in our department doing the same exact job, same title as I had, made more, like made 15,000, 10 to 15,000 more. And this is in the 80s. So it was, that was quite substantial. And then, mm-hmm. you know, when I started my telecom company, you know, I'm the only woman in the male dominated industry. And, you know, because I was a woman owned business, the customers that I was approaching for potential, I should say the people that were the companies that I were approaching for potential work, didn't want to pay me or my employees to the amount that I wanted, but they were willing to pay the guy who had all the male contractor who had all these male guys, they were willing to pay them so much more. And so it was like, okay, we've got this whole thing going on with, one, gender gap, two, you know, the whole sexual thing with the sexual discrimination in pay and wages. But back then, it wasn't, you knew it was happening, but there was nothing being done about it. No one was speaking about it. And so you just did what you did, right? I became a trendsetter and just paved my own path. But you bring up a good point. We need to have these conversations. I remember when I first sat down with a financial planner who was a gentleman, and it was me and my husband at the time, and he was specifically talking to him. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking to him for? I'm the one that makes all the decisions. You know, but he was specifically, he wouldn't even look at him. He wouldn't even look at me. It was like, okay, can you make us some coffee and make us a pie that we can eat? But other than that, be silent and just look pretty and be silent. And I'm like, that's not right. That's not real. That's not, this is not our reality. So it's very important that I think women understand that we need to be educated about money. You know, as great as men are, we all know that things happen as we get older, and sometimes you kind of go separate ways and go separate pathways. It's not bad. It's just the way life is. But if you don't learn how to manage your money, if you don't learn how to take financial responsibility for your finances, and it doesn't mean that you have to separate yourself from your man, but if you don't learn this, if something happens along the way, you're going to be devastated. And we all have heard these stories of the women in the 50s and 60s who were housewives and didn't work, and their husband went off and married their secretary and kicked them to the curb, and they had no way of making ends meet. They had no clue because they didn't know how much money was coming in. They didn't pay any bills. They had nothing. And so I think today's women are a lot different, but I think it's something very important that we need to understand and educate ourselves and be proactive in our financial wealth. Now, I want to go back to you, Laura, because, we're getting close to our time. But I want to go back to you, Laura, because I like what you said about all the transformational things and shedding the labels that we tend to inherit or that are thrown upon us, and we wear like a badge of courage, even though we didn't select that badge. So it's like the Girl Scouts. You select the cookie badge and you go to sell those cookies, but if you select the shitty Girl Scout badge, you know, wait, if the shitty Girl Scout badge bestows upon you, you didn't select that badge. You don't want that badge, but it gets bestowed upon you anyways. So we wear them and we take them and we do not understand how to incorporate these things for transformation so that we can actually do our dance in life. Can you share, Laura, with the listeners, the essence, the importance, the need that we women that are fierce, fearless, and unstoppable need to discover when it comes to doing our own dance of life?
Yeah, there's a couple of things there. I call it your naked self-worth.
And that's the ability to value yourself for who you are, not for what you do for others or for who you are in relation to others. And, you know, as women, we like to please other people. We just do. Not only were we raised to be good girls, but it feels good to serve others and to take care of our kids and to meet with our girlfriends. But we forget that we need to please ourselves first and foremost. We need to validate ourselves. And we need to define, like, that success on our own terms. And if you want to be, you know, like you were talking about, the housewife, own it. Be the housewife. Own it. Figure out what you need to know so you can keep that role. And part of that is figuring out your finances. Part of it is figuring out a whole bunch of other things. If you want to be an absolute, you know, corporate badass working all the time and not have any kids, own it. Figure out what you need to do. Figure out the kind of education you need, the kind of hours you need to work. Own it and do it. But it's all about validating yourself. And of course we can listen to advice from other people. And of course we can, you know, talk to our friends. But we've got to validate ourselves and choose our own path. Because otherwise it's, well, I went to school because I should. And I got married because we were at the right age. And I had kids, even though I wasn't quite sure at this time. And then I always regretted not, you know, traveling to Europe or pursuing my dream. But now I'm too late. So my biggest thing like that, if you want to be unstoppable and live life on your own terms, then you've got to make yourself a priority and validate yourself and make yourself happy and figure it out. You know, just ask yourself, what do I want? You know, you talk about money being taboo. It's also so taboo to say what we want. I don't want to have kids right now. I don't want to go to school right now. I want to pursue. We need to say that. And women's voices are just cut off. It's so taboo for us to use our voice.
Right. You think, you know what, I mean, it's so funny because I can relate to all of this. I remember when I got married at 18 and, you know, right into the marriage, the Sicilian side of my family was like, so when are you having kids? When are you getting pregnant? Blah, blah, blah. And it got to be so overbearing for me. I told one of my aunts, I said, you know what? Look, stop asking me that because you can have a child. All you got to do is later. You don't even got to enjoy the experience. You just, you know, and she was like, oh, my God, I can't believe. And she started cussing me out in Italian, right? But it was like, you know, you may have done that, and that may have been great for you, but I don't want to get married. I got married young, but I don't want to get married and be young, you know, having kids. And, it was like, come on, you know. And so, you know, I think if I would have fell into the play of, you know, embracing the roles that they had embraced, the women prior to me in my lineage had embraced, then I don't think I would have ever been the business owner or the kick-ass, sassy chick that I am. I would have just fell into the role, and I would not have been happy. I would not have been happy. And so when I speak to young women, like my daughter when she was growing up, I always told her, be what you want to be, do what you want to do. I may not agree with the way you do things. I may not agree with your choices, but it's your life. It's your life.
Yeah.
It's your path. You know, I have a vision of what I want you to do, but that's my vision. That may not be what God has bestowed upon you for your vision. So just own whatever you do, own it. I remember my grandmother telling me, if you're going to be a garbage collector, be the best damn garbage collector you can be. And if you're going to be the head of the country, be the best person that you can be. But no matter whatever role you choose, be the best at it that you can be and own it. Because if you really want that role, then you need to own it and then you need to make it yours. So I totally agree with you. Now, Megan, I want to ask you, what would you say to the women that kind of get stuck in the mindset that managing money is all about men managing money, and we women just come along for the ride?
Oh, you gotta work through that one. That's for sure. You need to do some serious work because, I mean, that is
just so old school, patriarchal. We're in modern times now, and like I said, I mean, if you want to be unstoppable, if you want to feel empowered and go through life, you cannot be hiding in anybody's shadow, whoever that is, whether it's a husband, a family member, a friend, whoever. You got to be front and center running your own life. So I would certainly explore. If you have that, if you continue to have that story, I would continue to try to work through that as much as you can, where it comes from, and then challenge it every single day.
Love it. Okay, ladies, I'm sorry. We're getting close to our time.
It's like, I could talk to you for another hour and a half, but I know Megan's got she's a mommy and she's got little babies, so we want to honor her time. I want to ask you, Laura, if you could give one or two phenomenal, empowering, kick-ass chick, because I know you're a kick-ass chick, kick-ass chick type of advice to women out there listening. Because we have a lot of people listening, and we don't know their story, where they're at. But I guarantee you that the words of wisdom that you ladies are sharing are helping a phenomenally amount of people. So, Laura, if you had something to say to that woman out there that might be listening to us have this girlfriend conversation, and she wants to do something, but she's just not sure if she can, what would you say to inspire her to step into her greatness?
I would tell her to flaunt who she is.
I love it.
Not who she thinks she is supposed to be. Because when we are brave and vulnerable and open and just flaunt, I don't know about money, I've got this story, and we flaunt our weaknesses, then the people who are able to help us appear in our reality, when we flaunt our strengths, then we are all of a sudden elevating ourselves and other people around us. So wherever you're at, flaunt who you are, because when you're that open and that authentic, you bring in the right people and you will always get exactly where you need to be.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I wish we had more time to go into actually what your flaunt means. But I love it. You guys stay tuned. Maybe another show with these two later, but stay tuned.
Okay, Miss Megan, it's your turn. So if you had a woman out there that, you know, and I'm thinking of the women, say 22 to 72 out there, and they really want to step into being fearless and manage their wealth and manage it to the best of their ability without demeaning their spouse's ability to manage the wealth, what would you say to them? They want to do it, but they're a little apprehensive because they don't want their spouse to feel that they're stepping on their toes and trying to take over. What would you say to them claiming and owning their own destiny with their wealth?
Yeah, I'd say just get curious. Just get curious. Really try to fully understand yourself and be true to yourself. Be who you are and find out more about who you are and what you want in the world and what your goals are. And I think that's going to tie really closely in with having these bigger, more meaningful financial decisions with your family. So I think get curious, be true to yourself, and and just be you, be powerful, and be confident, because easier said than done sometimes, I know, but those are very basic but really important tips, I think, for women to really step into their own.
All righty, ladies. Well, thank you so much. I'm sorry we've come to the end of our time, and I hope all of you out there listening have really enjoyed the conversation that I had with the phenomenal Megan and the phenomenal Miss Laura. Words of wisdom from these ladies will take you so far if you embrace them and really listen to the essence of what they're saying. So
thank you. I hope you got lots of notes, and I really want to thank Laura and Megan for being a part of Blissful Living today. So thank you, ladies. I appreciate your words of wisdom, your kindness, and your generosity. It was fabulous.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And for you're very welcome. And for our sponsors, again, we have Blissful Living for You at Blissful Living, the number four, the letter U.com. Now, I mentioned that these two phenomenal ladies are speakers at the Unstoppable Women's Summit, Turning Passion into Purpose and Profit, happening. You'll have to go to Blissful Living for You to find out and get your free ticket. But you definitely want to check them out. Go to the site. Check it out. It's a free event. You'll get the dates and all the information, and you'll find out more about these ladies and how you can directly connect with them on the site. So definitely check it out. Share this show with everybody you love and care about, specifically women, because women need to understand that this is the year of the women, and we're rising up in power more than we ever, ever could imagine. Who would have thought in 1918 that we would today have a female vice president? And I don't care about your political affiliation, but the fact that we have a woman that's a vice president when just little over 103 years ago, we didn't even have the right to vote. I'm telling you all, that is super powerful. So check out Blissful Living, the number four, the letter U.com, and definitely connect with us and join us on the event. And I want to thank the other sponsor, All Day Cable Incorporated at All Day Cable Inc. Check them out if you have a need or you know someone that does. Feel free to share the information. It's all about sharing information that helps the globe to continue flowing effervescently. And again, I want to thank my fabulous guests, Laura Cheeto and Megan Dwyer, for being with us today. They've bestowed wonderful words of wisdom, and it's going to help all of you. If you take it to heart, step out and be fierce, fearless, and unstoppable. And I guess with that being said, I just want to end the show and say I'm wishing you peace to your mind, wellness to your body, and wisdom to your mindset, and tranquility to your spirit. I'm the Queen of Feeling Fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson. And until next time, stay healthy, well, and safe. And I'm going to say goodbye for now.
Thank you for joining Rochelle Marie Lawson on Blissful Living. To contact Rochelle Marie and to find out more about Blissful Living, click on Blissful Living for You link right here on the Blissful Living Network. Catch all the Blissful Living episodes on demand and available for download 24/7 on blissfulliving4you.com. Until next week, may your life be filled with peace, wellness, abundance, and prosperity.